Lord Jesus, you are everything for us. Thank you. We praise you for all of the goodness given to us. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you. We are accepted in your Son, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, destined for heaven, born of the Spirit, indwelt by your wisdom, your love, your character, empowered and cared for. Care for us tonight, God, with your word. Minister to our hearts and guide us in these thoughts. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I feel like saying hallelujah 1,000 times. Just thankful. Thankful. Just so thankful. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's so good. I'd like to speak tonight about body life and us being in the body and knowing each other in the spirit. I would also like to talk about some good habits that we develop as believers. And I just want to introduce one thought, and then I'll sit down and Jesse will take over and do what he has to do. So the one thought is, have you ever felt like maybe you don't belong? Okay, I don't belong. Like, we might have those feelings in life quite a bit. I mean, where I work, maybe with some group of people. It may be that I don't fit in, or I don't feel that I belong. But when it comes to the church, this is spiritual, that you are baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit, and you drink the same Spirit. Are we different? Yeah, we may be different, but we're not looking at differences. We're looking at what God is doing, what God has done through his Son. Yeah, at the communion table at the Last Supper, he broke the bread. He said, my body is broken for you. His body is broken so that we would be united. He suffered so we would be one. By his stripes we are healed, and by his Spirit we have fellowship in the same heart and the same mind. But I want you to notice this one verse, because it may illustrate in a certain way what I want to say in the beginning. It's Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 45. Leviticus 13, 45. Leprosy was and is a terrible disease. It affects your neurological system, muscles, bones. I don't know, actually, I've read different things about it, but it's a horrible disease and very contagious. So this is a law in the Bible under Moses' teaching that if somebody was a leper, they had the obligation to call out, put their hand over their upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. They also were to let their hair grow and wear torn clothes so they could be identified from a distance. Oh, that's a leper. Stay away. That's a leper. Stay away. So it's verse 45. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent. and his head bare. Oh, I thought it was he had his hair grow long, but his head is shaved. Is that right? His head bare or no? What? No hat? Okay. All right, so who's teaching who, right? Like, what's going on? What happened to the pastor? Okay. Okay, so let's just move on. And okay. He shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry unclean. Like from distance, right? From a distance. I feel like that this is what sin does to me. I could come into the church and sit down, but sin separates me from the body and body life. Like, we can't get contaminated by your sin as a leper or COVID. We can't. We have authority in Christ. But you are more alone. It's like in a bubble. But I go to the church, but nobody understands me. I go to the church, but I don't fit there. I don't belong. I'm isolated or alienated. And I believe that happens to people. And sometimes, to be honest, it's a way that God speaks to us. And what God wants me to do is to be humble and come before him and say, God, I know I belong. I don't feel it, but I make my confession to you, and I know I belong because you have, this is your will. Not that I would be alone, isolated as a leper. I would rather, it would be that I am in the light, in fellowship one with another, and receiving the many blessings that happen in the body of Christ. The many blessings that happen in the body of Christ. When somebody leaves the church for a while, maybe a month or a couple months or years or something, they might feel this. They come back. They might feel like they are like a leper, to be honest. That's how they feel, like unclean, unclean. But what's the answer for that? Like, it's a way that God governs us as people. He says, you are accepted in the beloved. You know, I am for you. Justin preached last night in Federal Hill, and it really touched my heart that when they lowered the man down through the roof in Mark 3, as he was paralyzed and they brought him through the roof, the first thing Jesus said to him is, your sins are forgiven you. And Jesus didn't say, will you repent? But he just said, your sins are forgiven you. And he said that grace is the nature of God, and God gives grace to all kinds of people all the time. He gives grace to the unsaved. He gives grace to us. And so if a person is a leper and they come, let's say they've been living in adultery, nobody knows about it, but they come into the church. And to them, you know, there may be walls and barriers and isolation and alienation that's happening in their soul. And the Lord actually says to them, we pray that he would say to them, it's your call. I am for you. I am for you. Believe me. Trust me. walk with me. And what happens is John 15:3. Now you are clean. Walk with me. Confess your sin to me. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And walk in fellowship in the body. But it might not go that way. They may come, they may feel, I don't belong. They may be condemned. They undoubtedly are somehow under the conviction of God regarding their sin. And God is loving them, but they might say, I'm out of here. I'm not here. I don't belong here. I've chosen another way. So that is something that I want to speak about tonight for a few minutes. In a loving way, you know, just to build us up, because there's a lot of good stuff to say about it, because the life of Christ in the body is so absolutely a reality. It is like very, very many dynamic elements to it that happen in your life. Your growth, your interest, your focus, your concentration, your openness to God, your fellowship with each other, your edification, and not to mention how God prepares to use us as we fellowship in the body. But this whole thing of, you know, unclean, and the bubble is also a very real thing. And you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that, no. There's a better way. And that's what we'll speak about tonight. Okay, turn to Psalm 133. This is where we're going in our message. And because we will jump around, but this is Psalm 133, body life. Body life is the fellowship of the Spirit with more than one believer, two people. There I am in the midst. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Oh, isn't it good? Body life. We use that word in our vocabulary around here, body life, for church life. Church life is more than just a traditional group of people that believe the same thing. It's more. It's what we call body life, the Spirit of God in you, in fellowship with each other. It's illustrated many ways in the Bible. One of them is when Mary met Elizabeth, and she said, Elizabeth, and the baby in her womb leapt, that was John the Baptist, and Elizabeth said, the mother of my Lord. What a verse that is. Oh, like what is in you? And Mary was, let's see, Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. Mary, was she 3 months pregnant? Was there a 3 month or a 6 month difference with Jesus and John the Baptist? I'm not sure. Again, the pastor needs help. Okay, let's put that right out there. Okay, with stammering lips. We preach the gospel. Okay, you have in you this life of Christ. Don't block it, grieve the Spirit, or quench the Spirit, but walk in faith. Come to the church by faith. Last week we gave a list of why teenagers should come to the church. Remember the list? And we are encouraging people to fellowship, to sense the anointing, to discern the message recognize what is said. How important is it? Is it a message that brings me, like, is it something I don't hear on the TV? I mean, Fox News or CNN or my local, my neighbor or a professor at school? Or what, is it a message from God? That's a good question, isn't it? Is it from my Bible? Is it from the Spirit? Does it speak to me? Does it edify me and build me up in faith? Does it provoke in me a response? Yes, I want that. Yes, I believe that. Yes, I'm in fellowship. How good and pleasant it is when we dwell in this unity. It's not produced by us. It comes to us. It's the nature of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. We are in fellowship in the Trinity, and we fellowship with each other, with many, many sisters and brothers in the same spirit. When that happens, we were in Washington, D.C., remember? The prayer time, 100,000 Christians with Franklin Graham at the Lincoln Memorial. How precious it was to be standing in the midst of 100,000 Christians, the police reported. They estimated that number. And to feel, I have fellowship with these sisters and brothers. Beautiful. Very good. A lot happens when there is that unity. A lot of unknown, unseen things happen. A lot of grace, a lot of love, a lot of encouragement, a lot of words, a lot of like peace and joy that happens amongst us. So this is where we are going in our message tonight. Verse 2, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard. This is Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. There was a large amount. There was a batch of anointing oil that they made. I calculated one time 35 gallons for the oil. And we don't know how much they poured on Aaron, but it might be they could have, I suppose, poured the whole batch on him. He was soaked, saturated with the oil. It went all over him, down to the ground, down to the bottom of his garments. He's saturated in oil. What is the meaning? The anointing of the Holy Spirit that's on the body of Christ, that goes from the head, Christ, down to us. It's his will that we would be anointed, that we would have a fellowship in the Holy Spirit. It's his will that we would not put our hand over our lip and stand out in the driveway saying, unclean, unclean, I am unclean, I am a leper, and have tattered clothes and be separated from the body. Is that God? Christ came to heal the leper. He came to redeem us, to change our life, baptize us into the body, and have fellowship in the body. Okay, now go to John 12, please. And verse 24, John 12, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. One illustration I heard of this was in Egypt, in a pyramid, they found some rice. They found some rice granules in Egypt, and they did a dating on it. I don't know how they did it, but supposedly the rice was a couple thousand years old. So there it was, and they planted it, and it grew. It was not dead. It didn't produce anything. It was alone. It wasn't useful. It was alone. It had the potential. It's like the man out in the parking lot saying, "Leper, leper, unclean, unclean." And he abides alone. He's alone. How many years? 50? 60, 70 years. He's alone. What does he need to do? But here it says he must die. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. What does that mean? For him to die, he has to die to his self life. I am a leper. I have sinned. I am alone. I don't belong. I don't belong. I know I don't belong in there. I do not belong in that church. I know I do not belong there. I know that. And what does Jesus say? Unless you die, you'll be alone. You just be the same. You just be the same. But if you die, to what? I have to enter into the assembly by faith. I have to believe. I have to hear what God says about me and leave my many feelings, my victimhood, my alienation, my loneliness, my dysfunctionality. I'm dysfunctional. I just swear and curse at people all the day long. I'm angry with society. I'm angry with the world. I'm angry with God. I'm angry with the church, and so on. That, of course, we see that with homeless people many times, whatever the causes. But I just say it doesn't apply to them. It applies to me. We could be by ourselves, preserving our own life. One man could say, "I'm an artist. You don't understand me. I got to be alone. You know, I just want to be alone for, give me some time, maybe a couple of years, 10 years or so. Give me a couple of decades. I just want to be by myself. I'm an artist. I just want to be by myself." But you got to ask yourself this question. Is that what my life is, to be alone? Or if I die to my self-life, then I will bear fruit. I will be in the body of Christ where he put me, and be part of the body of Christ as a member in particular. When you are built up in the Spirit, then when you are alone, there's nothing wrong with being alone. We teach that. Solitude is part, it's a Christian discipline. Solitude is a Christian discipline. It's important to be able to be by myself. You know, we teach that. But when I am by myself, it's not in the flesh. I am filled with the Spirit. We are filled with the Spirit because we learn to walk in the Spirit. If I am creative as an artist, God can use me, but I'm a Spirit-filled artist. If I'm a teacher, I'm not alone. I'm in the body and walking with God, and he's giving me more. He is filling me with the Spirit and leading us in fellowship. And then when I am doing my job, I'm not just a teacher, but I am a wise teacher or a Spirit-filled teacher or mother or teenager or father or whatever. So it's a good message, isn't it? Verse 25, he that loves his life shall lose it. There are too many people, too many of us, we love our lives so much. We can't lose it. But Jesus says, you're losing it. You're losing it. You love your life. A lot. It's my life. It's the only life I have. I got one. I'm going to live it. You know, this is the world message. You know, I'm living my life. But it's not Jesus's message. Jesus is saying, lose your life. And you will find your life in the Spirit. And my Heavenly Father gives you the Spirit so that you can rejoice. I have a couple things to say about it in closing. Turn to Isaiah 58. I say in closing just to get your attention. It might be true, though. It might be. Okay. Isaiah 58, this is what will happen to you in the body of Christ. Watch Isaiah 58 and verse 9. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thank you, Jesus. You shall call, and the Lord shall answer. You shall cry, and he shall say, here I am. Wow. These things, this is pretty amazing. What are the three things he says here? Take, number one, take away from the midst of thee the yoke. So we need to park there for a second. If you take away the yoke from your midst, what's the yoke that I have to take away from me? Okay, watch. I'm a leper. Unclean, unclean, I'm a leper. There's a yoke on me. I don't belong, I don't belong. I have sinned, I have sinned. I'm a bad person, I'm a bad person. I'm a drug addict, I've got bad habits. I swear a lot. You can't trust me, I'll cheat and lie to get to the top. That's who I am. And Jesus says, If you take away from the midst of you the yoke, those things that are holding you, if you could die to yourself and surrender to me, I will take the yoke off you. I will take the yoke away from you. I will. I've heard it recently in the last few weeks. I love hearing salvation stories. Now, I've heard a number of people just tell these amazing stories of how Jesus Christ delivered them, and he took the yoke away. Isn't that amazing? But my part of it is, like, Lord, I like being a leper, because then I can be, you know, this is my world. I'm in this bubble. I choose. And I like to say to people, unclean, unclean, and stay away from me. Because this is my yoke is my self-love. And God is saying, you better give that up to me and come by faith. Because I will satisfy you. Oil will be poured, you know. You'll be delivered. You'll be fresh. You'll be not only forgiven of your sins, but do it no more. Remember the woman? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Do you think she did sin again? I mean, adultery. Do you think so? I kind of think she was changed. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And I think that's probably what happened to her. Probably she left and it was over. The yoke is my self-love. People love their sin so much, it's a bondage. And God is saying, come on, give it up. Trust me, I'll take it away. I'll deliver you. Okay? That happens in the body of Christ. It does. All right, number two in that verse. The putting forth of the finger. I wonder if maybe Jesse, do you want to just stand up here and act that part out? Putting forth the finger. Go ahead. What? Okay. Yes. Yeah, wait. Putting forth the finger. Do you do that? Do you put forth a finger? Like, are you, is it accusing? Is it, you're the problem. You know, it's your fault. It's putting forth a finger. That's the, he did a good job, didn't he? I got convicted when he pointed at me. It's just overwhelming. The third thing. Let's say putting forth a finger. I mean, there are some people, they have a nasty habit of accusing. They just accuse a lot. And it says, Revelation 12, the devil, Satan, accuses the brethren day and night. Day and night. Even in a good day, he's not sleeping. He hasn't stopped. He does it day and night. And unfortunately, when I jump into his program and I'm accusing the brethren day and night, it's hard for me to have body life. When I find fault with you all the time and I'm putting forth the finger as a way of life, how do I fit? How do I belong? When I have this as a habit, and God says, if you will not do that anymore, like stop doing that. The third thing is speaking vanity. This is foolishness, emptiness, village gossip, constant accusations, maybe pop psychology of suffering and emotional trouble and guilt and confusion, and I'm upset about this and I'm about that. And God is saying, you know, like, you know, leave that in the parking lot and come in by faith and get ready to hear what I have to say, because what I have to say to you will heal you. What I have to say is going to build you up in Christ. What I have to say is going to guide you into usefulness. Isn't it? Look at the verse 10. And if you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul. Now look at this part. Then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness as the noonday. Where'd you get that light? Where'd you get that? How come you're doing so good? How come, you know, well, you just seem happy all the time. What's going on? How come you got something fresh? Why aren't you bored? Bored half to death with Christianity. Bored stiff with the whole thing about prayer and about Bible and about, you're just bored to death with the whole thing. Why? It seems God is saying, that's not me. That's not me. I'm not a boring God. I'm a living God. I give you light in obscurity. When others don't have it, you get some light. You have some spiritual life, some joy, peace, quietness. Things are okay with you in your soul and in your mind and in your heart. I say this not to shame us. I say it to instruct us that any one of us can find ourselves like somehow saying with a hand over the upper lip, unclean, unclean. And all this happens to people. It's not an uncommon thing. But the instruction is, if you could die to yourself, live in faith, walk in faith, stop pointing the finger, stop talking about your stuff and you're complaining day and night, you might find yourself in fellowship in the Holy Spirit with your light arising out of obscurity, and your darkness is like the noonday. Like, wow, I'm excited about Jesus. Jesus has been in my bedroom. Jesus has met me at lunchtime. Jesus was with me on Saturday. Jesus was with me in my quiet time. Christ was with me on the sidewalk. Christ was with me in my heart. Christ was with me when I read this book that stirred my heart and built me up. Okay, because of time, I want to just kind of leave it there and read something to you. Well, look at, we've got time, but look at verse 11. The Lord shall guide you continually, satisfy your soul in drought, make fat your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Okay? He is instructing the Jewish people. They were fasting, but selfish. They were religious. You can read it in the beginning of the chapter. The Jews were fasting, but they had anger inside. They're like jealous of each other. They're fasting from food, but they're not satisfying God because inside there's some deep problem in their heart. And so I just say to you and to all of us, everybody, that I just believe that we found a watering hole, a rock in a desert land, a shadow, a shade. We found a resource. We found life. We found God saying to us, teaching us, come on, trust me. I've saved you. Now let's grow. Let's move. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to be with you. You're not going to be tempted as much as you used to be when you're in this other state of mind. You got temptations you wrestle with and many things. You're going to do real good. I'm going to take care of you. Now, the thing I wanted to read in closing was something that touched my heart. Martin Luther had a real fun relationship with his wife, and he had physical problems at the end of his life, and he had to travel to another town 70 miles away. And actually he died there in that town. But his wife was concerned about him because of his health. And Luther's wife of nearly 21 years was not present at his bedside. 4 days earlier, Luther penned what would be his last two letters, one to his wife and another to a disciple. But Luther, let's see, what he said to his wife was funny, kind of funny. He told his wife he planned to return home later that week. His business in Eilben was finished. His health was much improved, and he was sending ahead a gift of trout. We have plenty to eat and drink and live like lords, he said jokingly. We are well cared for, even too well, so that we might easily forget about you people in Wittenberg. Okay. You know, he was dying, but he wrote that to his wife in his last letter to her. He was a lighthearted, I mean, you can say many things about him, the good and the bad. He was not a perfect man. There are things about him, but I love it to think a spirit-filled person can look at death and say, it's okay. It's okay, I'm ready. You know, when you are in the body and you have this fellowship, you're not alone. Even when we die, in Luke 16, God sends angels to take us to heaven. We're not alone. Life is to be lived lightheartedly. Life is sometimes a joke. I mean, it's serious, but come on. We got a lot. You know, Jesus has saved us, redeemed us. Praise is our way of life. Singing, praise, and thanksgiving. And stop putting forth the finger. And what was the other one? The last one of that. What was it? speaking vanity, the foolishness of life, you know, complaining, I can't handle it. Stop complaining. Stop complaining. Be thankful. Have thanksgiving in your prayer. Thanksgiving every day. Thanksgiving for you're alive. Are you kidding me? You know how many people have died? Billions. Billions of them. You're alive. You and I are alive. We eat, breathe, drink. We eat lake trout. We live like lords. We don't even, what did he say about it? He said, we might easily forget about you people in Wittenberg. A few hours later, he's gone. Yeah, because of chest pain and shortness of breath and other maladies that he had. He probably had a heart attack. And he was gone, but it's okay. Guys, when you lose your life and the yoke is gone and you stop putting forth a finger and you stop talking foolishly and you learn love and you learn being a servant and you learn rejoicing in the body, then you have many friends, much fellowship, a lot of joy and a divine purpose. And let's go into the world with the message and bring this gospel message to Vietnam and bring the gospel message to small countries, third world countries that people forget about. Let's go to Bolivia. Let's bring the message to some small island somewhere in the South Pacific and let's do it before we die. That's a good idea. Okay, amen. That's it. Lord, there have been times when we needed so much a message of grace, and it built us up in the faith. There are times we needed so much just to be in the presence of the body and drink the Spirit and learn love and building and edifying the brethren. There were times when I just needed to sit here and just be in the presence of your people with the oil that is sent to us that we would glorify your Son. Your Son did it all. Now we are on his side, and we're living in this world together in the body. Bless these thoughts to us. Then anyone listening, coming to Jesus tonight, come as you are. Please come. Make a decision in your heart. Make a decision in your life. I need Jesus Christ. Don't just float. Let it float. Take a hold of it. Grab it. Say, I believe in Jesus Christ. And walk by faith in him. And he will help you. He will guide you. He gives you the new birth. And he will sanctify you. In his name. Amen.